7:30, so let's get started. So two shailas for tonight. You let me know which one you want to talk about. One of them is a shaila someone actually asked me, and another one is a shaila that I heard discussed in a shir, and I found it to be fascinating, so I figured I'll share it with you as well. So shaila number one is as follows, the one that someone actually asked me. A rabbi reached out to me, and he told me that, unfortunately, there's a woman in his shul who had become an onain today. She had lost a relative. Her elderly father, I think, had passed away, or mother, I don't know what, and she's an onain. The kavura is going to be tomorrow. Now, it happens to be that her mikveh night is tonight. She wanted, now, obviously, she's not in a mindset of, of having tashmish with her husband or anything like that, but having to sit shiva while she's in Nida, where every time someone passes her the phone or tries to serve her food, you know, every time her husband tries to serve her food, it's going to be a whole asek, you know, in terms of figuring out how to navigate Hilchas Nida. She just feels that it will be much, much, much easier for her to navigate Hilchas Nida, to navigate shiva, if she is not in Nida. So her shaila is, can she go to the mikvah when she is in Aninus so that she will not be Anida during Shiva? The rabbi writes, the rabbi who asked me the question said that during Shiva I know she may not go to the mikvah, but I have not seen anyone talk about this specific permutation, and it is not Mefurish and Shulchan Aruch. So that is question number one. Question number is not so shaila, that was actually today live shaila. Question number two is a shaila that guys in my shir may remember, because I mentioned it, but we didn't actually discuss it, and that is a shaila in Hilchas Borer. So you're thinking, come on, Hilchas Borer? That sounds so boring. No, I think it's a very exciting shaila, actually. Here's what happened. The halacha is that you're allowed to be Borer if you meet, you're allowed to do Borer on Shabbos if you meet three criteria. What are the three criteria you need? Great. Yeah, everyone knows, right? So you got to take the ochel from the psalus, not the psalus from the ochel. You got to do it with your hand, not with a specialized utensil, and it's got to be for immediate use. Mia, that you want to use it right away. So Rabbi Yisrael Reisman Shlita said that he was once picking out a bottle of wine to use for Kiddush that day, and he said, you know, because he's a rabbi, he must have been soon after Purim or something, if you were to see my garage the day after Purim, you would think that, that either I'm an alcoholic or the opposite, I guess, because I just had lots and lots and lots of wine. That is not drunk, right? So so there's a lot of wine in rabbis' houses, typically, after Purim, and it's a mess. It's all over the place, right? So so he said he was looking for the kind of wine that he likes to drink, which is, since he's a Pashup Shat man, it's Rashi, right? So he was looking for Rashi wine. So he under a few other bottles in between, he spotted a bottle of Rashi, he grabbed it biyad, ochel mitoch psolas, and now he put it aside to use for Kiddush 5 hours from now. And then he realized, uh-oh, that's a problem, because it's not miyad. So his shaila was, can I quickly just pour myself a drink of wine and, you know, have a drink right now, and then retroactively it'll be miyad. Meaning, can you fix it retroactively? He did the whole, if someone would have given him Asra beforehand, do not do that. And if you do that, you're going to be Chayiv Skila. And he would have done it. Can he then just take a drink and say, ha ha, not Chayiv Skila, even though that wasn't in the original plans? Is there any way to undo an Isser that's already done with a change of Machshava? So that is Shaila number two. So Shaila number one is Tevila during Aninus. Shaila number two is retroactive Bechira. I don't know if that's the right word, but whatever it is, right? Retroactively undoing an Isser. So all those who would like to talk about Shaila number one, Tevila during Aninus, show of hands. Okay. All those who would like to talk about retroactive whatever, more hands. Let's see what the internet vote is over here. 1-1-2, 1-2-2-2. So that's more than this. Okay, so it looks like shaila number two. Retroactive Bechira it is. Both the live vote and the Zoom vote. I'm not going to tell you if the woman went to the mikvah. You'll have to just pay a shiva call and see if her husband answers stuff. Okay, so anyway, the shaila is it's a fascinating discussion in halacha where Rabbi Reisman entered the discussion, meaning his entry point to the discussion was from a point of machshava. His point of machshava was that the understanding of Esav in the womb being drawn to Avodah Zarah and Yaakov being drawn to the Beis Medrash, what do you mean? They weren't evil yet. Person has Bechira Chavshis, so they haven't done anything yet. But retroactively, it makes sense, right? Meaning retroactively, after it turns out that Esav made all the wrong choices in life and Yaakov made all the right choices in life, so then retroactively we say, yeah, so that one was the one that was drawn to the Avodah Zarah, that one that was the one that was drawn to the Beis Medrash. Rav Victor Miller and Rav Huttner both spoke about this idea that perhaps because Hashem is the Malam in Azman, he knew that Moshe would become Moshe, so the or that filled the house was retroactive koach in the Bria, that because he knew Moshe Rabbeinu was going to make all the right choices and become Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Nismale Abayis Kula Ora when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. When Avram fights the four Malachim, he chases them ad Dun. But the Medrash says, Kivan Sheyegia Sham, when he got to Dun, Toshash Kocho, Sha'asidin Ban of Lahamit Sham Egel. Because his descendants were going to be Mamed and Egel in Dun. So it was Tashash Kocho. So what do you mean? They weren't going to have Bechir Chavshis to yes or not be Mamed and Egel because Avram Avinu already felt Tashash Kocho, that he already felt weak. So that was Rav Reisman's entry point. It was a Parsha Shir. So sometimes he pretends it's a Parsha Shir, right? So this past week he spoke about Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos, and he said, what's the connection to Parshas V'Yishlach? Nothing, but you showed up anyway, so I'm going to tell you about Bishul B'Shabbos. So, but this one he tried, right? So this one he tried to at least connect to the parsha, right? That 900 years later, Yeravam is going to make a horrible decision and be Mamed and Egel in that spot, and therefore retroactively Moshe Rabbeinu is Tashash Kocho when he gets to that place. So apparently in the Olam Haruchani, Rav Huttner has what he calls the an Or HaChozer, that there is a retroactive light that comes back. So the shaila is, do we say such a thing when it comes to halacha? Can we take something and retroactively make it okay lehalacha? Now, so before we get to the actual Bechira Chavshis case, let's talk about a few other examples where this comes up. So Rabbi Reisman said that he spoke to Rav David Palm. Rav David Palm is Rav Palm's son from Toronto, and he is a very, very big Talmud Chacham. So he mentioned the Shaila to Rav David Palm, and Rav David Palm said, it's enough in the Mishnah Berurah. So Rav Reisman said, what do you mean enough in the Mishnah Berurah? I don't think it's anywhere in Hilchos Borer. So he said, no, not in Hilchos Borer, in Hilchos Pesach. He said, what? Well, where is it in Hilchos Pesach? He said, yeah, Siman Tafai and Gimel Sivkat Lam Beis. The Mishnah Berurah talks about how on the Ka'ara on Pesach, we place a Zroa, a roasted Zroa on the Ka'ara on Pesach. And why do we do that? As a Zecher L'Korban Pesach, right? So the Mishnah Berurah says that you have to roast it on Erev Yom Tov. You're not allowed to roast it on Yom Tov itself. You have to make sure it gets roasted on Erev Yom Tov. Why? Because while it's true that you're allowed to cook and roast things on Yom Tov for Ochel Nefesh, but that's only if you're going to eat it, or if it's at least a Tzorach Hayom Ksas, if there's any sort of Tzorach Hayom that you have for it. But the having it sit on a Ka'ara that you're not going to eat, and you can't even point to it, and when you say Pesach, you can't, right? You're not even supposed to point. That's where it says in the Haggadah, don't point, right? So you can't even point to it. That's not a real tzorech. So you're cooking for no reason. It's a malacha d'oraisa. You're not allowed to do malacha d'oraisa on Yantif by cooking the zroa. So you need to prepare it before Yantif. You can only do malacha, that's the tzorech hayom. And so why don't you just eat it? Why don't you just eat it on the Seder night? Why don't you just eat it? It's a roasted piece of meat. You're not allowed to eat roasted meat on the Seder night, right? I mean, that's one of our dietary limitations. Many families have like a mesorah in their family of what exactly the main dish at the Seder is. In my family, it's chicken paprika. It's a chicken that's cooked in a sauce, and that's what my mother made. That's what my bobby made, and that's what my great bobby made. And that's what, right. That's it, because that's what you do. You can't have roasted meat or even roasted chicken on the night of the Seder, so you can't eat it. It's not even something that's a possibility to eat, and therefore you're not allowed to roast it on Yom Tov. So you got to roast it on Erev Yom Tov. Okay, so we don't eat roasted meat at the Seder, but then says in the Mishnah Berurah, Im shachach v'tzala b'layla, if you forgot and you roasted it on the night of the Seder, so now what do you do? Yizahar la'achla l'machr b'boker. I would have said, what do you do? Tshuva. right? Because you did an aveira. Okay, so you got to do tshuva. Says the Mishnah Berurah, yizar le'achlo le'machar b'boker. You're not allowed to eat roasted meat on the Seder night, but the first day of Yontif, you're allowed to eat roasted meat. So you're allowed to cook on Yontif night for Yontif day. So just be careful. I know it wasn't on the menu. Your wife, mother, whatever, made a menu for Yontif, and the Yontif day menu was going to be, grilled chicken cutlets and potato kugel and whatever else. And the roasted zroa was not on the menu. Break the menu. Go and eat roasted zroa during the day, and that way it will turn out that when you roasted it on the night of the Seder, you were cooking on Yontif for Yontif. But that wasn't your original plan. It was shachach. You had forgotten. So what do you see from that Mishnah Berurah? You can fix that which you have messed up, right? You made a mistake, and you did the Aveira, but as long as you turn it into a Tzorech, you can fix it. Another example Rabbi Reisman gave, before I give some rayas from other malachos, there was a Rosh Hashanah minion that had borrowed a Sefer Torah from Rabbi Reisman's shul on a three-day yantif, and a guy brought back the Sefer Torah to the shul on Friday. Right, the minyan was only meeting on Rosh Hashanah, so it was meeting Thursday and Friday. It was a 3-day that was leading into Shabbos, and they borrowed a Sefer Torah from the Agudah of Madison, and they brought the Sefer Torah back on Friday. And Rabbi Reisman was sitting in the shul learning, because that's what he does, and he sees this guy coming back with a Sefer Torah on Friday. Now, even on Yontif, where you're allowed to carry, assuming there's no Eruv, which is probably his assumption in Flatbush, that there's no reliable Eruv. See, even we're not getting involved in that dispute right now, but even on Yontif, where you're allowed to carry, you're only allowed to carry if it's a Torah Chayom, and they didn't need this Sefer Torah. So it seems to be a Malacha that they're carrying on Yontif, and there's no Torah Chayom whatsoever. So the Gabbai said, no problem. It is a Torah Chayom because you're allowed to do Achana from Yontif to Shabbos with an Eruv Tavshilin, and we have an Eruv Tavshilin, so we'll just lean from it on Shabbos. So Rabbi Reisman said, we weren't planning on leaning from this on Shabbos, meaning this was like, we have 12 Sefer Torah, this was number 12. It was the one we were willing to lend out, right? Meaning it was, that wasn't in the rotation. It wasn't one that we were going to lean from on Shabbos. So the Gabbai said, but I have a chap. Now, if we lean from it on Shabbos, it will turn out that the guy didn't carry for no reason. And if the guy didn't carry for no reason, it was a Sefer Chayom. Right? We could save the day afterwards. So who's right? Right? At the time, there was no Tzorach, but they created Tzorach afterwards. So does it help? Obviously, if you have to make that decision at that point, in Rabbi Reisman's words, im lo yoel lo yazik, it may not help, but it certainly doesn't hurt. So you might as well, right? Might as well try. But that was another example. Another example that he gave was that he said that his wife happens to be a Jewish woman, so she cooks for 25 people, even if there are only 5 people, right? And even if there are 25 people, what she'll do is, if there are 3 main dishes, some of you may have experienced this in your homes as well. I experience it on a weekly basis as well. That if, let's say, there are 10 people at the meal, right? And there are 3 main dishes, right? There's a chicken, and there's a meat, and there's a... That my wife will make enough that in case every single one of those 10 people decides to fill their entire stomach on only one of those main dishes, that everybody will have enough to eat from all of it, right? So if the main dish was just like a bigger pot of chicken soup, then it's riba bishurim. But if you're frying schnitzel, then each act is another malacha, and there's no tzorech of that extra malacha because no one's eating that, right? You're making 10 times as much chicken as you need to make. And there's no tzorech at all. So on Yontif. So the Rebbetzin said to Rabbi Reisman, oh, what do you mean? Your mother used to do the same thing. So it's hard to fight that. The Ben Ish Chai in the Rav Pa'alim, Chelek Aleph, Simin Yud Beis, says that if a woman wants to have lots of food at her table because it makes her feel more comfortable to know that every single person could choose the same main dish and fill their stomachs with it, that's a tzorech. So Rajan said his wife held like the Ben Ish Chai, and he held not like the Ben Ish Chai. Okay, but if you don't hold like that Ben Ish Chai, so is the Eitzah to just stuff your face as much as you possibly can, right? And then it becomes a Tzorech? Is that the Eitzah? Or get a whole bunch more company over, start going out on the streets and say Kiddush at our house, and everyone comes? So is that the only Eitzah? So maybe that's the only Eitzah. Another situation, another application of this. Let's see, there are a bunch. We'll see how many we have time for. Another one, Rav Elchanan in Kovitz Ha'aros discusses a stira between a Gemara Nezu Neshech. Gemara Nezu Neshech says that a man that collected a very obvious item as ribbis and then died, the children have to return it for kibud aveim. Right? The person collected something that everyone knows that it wasn't his before, and he collected it as ribbis, so it's like such a bizoyon for the children to have that item in their possession, because it was obviously an item that was generated in Isser. And the Gemara then says that he's a Rasha, he's not also Maisa Amcha, and there's no Kibud Aveim. So the Gemara first thinks they should return Mishum Kibud Aveim. Then the Gemara says, no, there's no Kibud Aveim. He's not also my Samcha. What kind of father is that was collecting ribbis? So you don't have any din to return it. Yet there's another Gemara that says that a mamzer is chayiv b'kibud aveim, even though his father didn't do mitzvah samaisim tovim to generate a mamzer, right? Meaning that's usually not how mamzerus is created. It's not because, oh, you're such a tzaddik, we award you with a mamzer, right? Usually you're awarded with the child as a mamzer because you did, you did things that were not such great things, right? So you're probably a Rasha if your child is a mamzer, right? Top 10 signs that you're a Rasha. Your child is a mamzer and you're not, that's a top 10 sign that you're a Rasha, right? So it's a stira between those two Gemaras, right? So how do you miyashiv that stira? So Rav Shechter has a beautiful mahalich, actually, in how to be miyashiv that stira, and be using them in chaschinuch, whether kibud aveim is mitzvah on the chaver, but on the makom. So he suggests it's both. It's both min on the chaver and min on the makom. There are gemaras that back up each possibility. And he says, but every mitzvah on the chaver only applies when your chaver is still alive. Mitzvah on the chaver do not apply after the other person is dead. Mitzvah on the makom apply only to the mitzvah of kibud aveim being ben adam l'makom would only work if your father is a tzaddik, not if he's a rasha. Because what kind of honor is it to God if you're honoring people who despise God, right? So there's a limitation on each element of kibud aveim. So if your father's a rasha who's alive, there's a mitzvah of kibud aveim ben adam l'chavero. If your father is no longer alive but he's a tzaddik, there's a mitzvah of kibud aveim ben adam l'makom. If your father's no longer alive and he was a rasha, then there's nothing left. There's no mitzvah kibud aveim, because there's no ben adam l'chavero and there's no ben adam l'makom. And that's how he's miyashiv the gemaras that the mitzvah of, or at least the Rambam, I think it's the Rambam says so that's how you miyashiv the gemaras, that a mamzer is chayiv in kibud aveim while the father's alive. But the Gemara says when the father's dead and he collected ribbis, there's no chiv kibud aveim. Right, because he's dead. And there's a sort of Elchanan explains differently. Elchanan explains that the Gemara in Ezu Neshech is about a dead father, same chilik, right? But he takes it, and therefore it matters why he can no longer do tshuva. So he's a Rasha permanently, because he can't do anything to fix it anymore, because he's a Rasha. So as long as the father's alive, though, you need to honor him, because it may turn out that he'll do tshuva, and he will have been a tzaddik this whole time, and therefore you're chayv and kibud aveim. What do you mean? He'll be a tzaddik this whole time. He's literally driving his car on Shabbos and, I don't know, eating pork on Yom Kippur, whatever. He's but, you know, if you do tshuva me'ava, all your zdonos will become kizchuyos, and therefore it turns out that he's doing the mitzvah of eating pork on Yom Kippur. Not the aveir of eating pork on Yom Kippur. He's doing the mitzvah of driving his car on Shabbos. So that's another application of how my mitzvah today toward him, right, this fellow's mitzvah toward his father is going to be impacted by what the father does in the future, right? So that's another example of this retroactive kind of a thing. Maybe we'll give one more. Well, let me give one more example that Rizman gave, and then we'll give. Then we'll talk about the halacha. In the Pisrei Tshuva in Yerodeis in Reish Ayin Vav, he quotes a Ramami Panu that if a sofer writes the first three letters of Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav, and then he writes the Dalet of the last Hey without any Kavana, if you just have Kavana on the last leg, inside leg of the Hey, it works to make the entire Shem Lishma. So he suggests that even though the Yud Kei Vav was not Lishma, but since you put a Lishma in at the end, that makes the whole Shem Lishma. Okay, that's not as much of a retroactive fixing. Okay. Let's go on from there. So now, does this apply to any other malacha? So here are my rayas that look in either direction. If someone gives somebody else hasra and says, "You can't do borer, you're taking ochel mitoch psolas, biad, miad, and if you do that, you're going to be chayiv, you're going to be chayiv misa," right? And the person says, "Av hal bikein, I'm going to do it. I mean, you're not doing it. I mean, you're doing ochel mitoch psolas, and you're doing a biad, but it's not miad, and therefore you're going to be chayiv misa." He says, "I don't care that it's not miad. I'm doing it anyway," right? So does the hasra become hasra safik? Do we ever hear that there's such a thing that it's hasra? Hasra safik means that if I give you hasra, and even if you violate my hasra, you still may not be chayiv when I tell you you're going to be chayiv. That's hasra safik. It's an invalid hasra. Do we ever find anywhere that you can't give hasra and miyad? Because it's a safik. Maybe he'll change his mind and he'll make it miyad, that which wasn't supposed to be miyad. So we never find that there's such a thing that that's hasra safik. The implication of the fact that it's not hasra safik is that you're not able to fix it. If at the time your kavana was that it shouldn't be miyad, so then you cannot fix it. Another raya, though, the Gemara talks about in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, something called Radias Hapas. Gemara talks about Chateb Kadesha Yizka Chavircha. That if, let's say, am I allowed to do a small avera so that somebody else will be saved from a bigger avera? So the Gemara, the example is someone puts raw dough in an oven. What malach is he doing? Ofer, right? Afia, he's baking. But he's only baking if it gets baked. So can I do Radias Hapas? Radias Hapas means taking the dough out of the oven or off the oven, which used to be, that the dough was wrapped on the oven. It was a whole malacha to do a Radias Hapas. It was an Issur Drabanan to do a Radias Hapas. Am I allowed to do Radias Hapas? An Issur Drabanan before the dough gets baked so that it will never get baked. And if it never gets baked, then he didn't violate. How can you say he baked something? Where? What did he bake? It's just raw dough. Right? So I can still save him from the Isser. So the assumption of the whole Gemara is that I can save him from the Isser. Right? That I can protect him from the Isser. But at the time that he was doing it, he was intending that it was going to get baked, and he did the whole mice, and he did it. But apparently, you can save him from the Isser. That there's a way to undo it retroactively. What about the malacha of Zoreya? A person plants a seed in the ground. So when does he become chayiv for planting the seed in the ground? At the time that he plants it, provided that it takes root in the ground. What if I see, I see someone who's having a bad day and he's trying to be rebellious and he's therefore say, I'm going to be Mechal Shabbos today. And he goes and he plants a seed in the ground. So I quickly pulled it out of the ground. Did he violate the Malach of Zoreya? Ujitaina? I may have done Choresh by pulling it out of the ground, okay. What? A second later, it didn't take root. Nothing happened yet.
Could it make a difference if he did it on purpose or by accident?
Why would it make a difference? One would be an Aver Mezum, one would be an Aver B'Shogeg, or it's not an Avera at all in either case. Right? Meaning it's either an Avera or it's not an Avera. Mezid or Shogig is assuming it's an Avera, so then which level is it, a Karban or is it a Chiv Misa? So there is a Machlokas Minchas Chinuch and Rashash about that case. I mean, the Radias Hapas case, the assumption of the Gemara is that you could save the person from the Yisr retroactively by making sure it doesn't get baked. Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Reish Sadiches talks about the Malach of Zoreya, and he says if it's not yet hishrish bekarka, the person's still going to be chayiv. The person's still going to be chayiv because he planted it in the ground. Says the Rashash, pshita li lehetach. I think it's the opposite. That if you're chazar v'lakat, it's potter. Why? Because it's just like the malacha of ofeh that it's potter. Why should zoreh be any different than the malacha of ofeh? Now, if you assume like the Minchas Chinuch, and there's some difference between Zoreya and Ofa, then all we're going to have to do is figure out, meaning to go back to our original question about Borer, is figure out, once we're able to identify what the difference is between Zoreya and Ofa, then we'll just have to figure out which category Borer fits into, and we'll know whether you can undo it afterwards, right? L'chora. Or maybe not. Why is there a what does miyad mean? What does miyad do for you in Bora? Like why? Chok below time, we just come up with crazy rules, so we're like, okay, miyad. Where rabbis, when they got together late at night and said, how could we make people's lives more difficult? Right? Let's come up with rules that will be hard to remember. And someone said, we should make it miyad and bekli. No, that doesn't rhyme. Miyad, biyad. Oh, okay, good. We'll go with that. Right? What happened? What's miyad? So, it's derech achila. When it's right away, then I'm just eating. It's derech achila. So it could be that even if there's a way to undo other malachos, that's because the product of the malacha is not there. By borer, there's no product of the malacha. It's at the time that I was doing borer, it's a question of, is it derech achila or is it not derech achila? And if at the time that I'm doing the malacha, it was not derech achila, the fact that I later on change my mind and decide to eat something, so that doesn't make it derech achila. The Sefer Afike Yam suggests that it's a Mishnah Mefureshes that if someone is Noteya B'Shabbos B'Shogeg, he brings a Raya, that you're not able to be Mesake in the Aver L'Mafreya, and he has over here, I was just trying to find where he says where he makes the chilek. Ah, here it is. Aval be'emes hadavar mukhrach mitzad atzmo de'ein shum dimyon melech zoreya le'melech zofa. There's no comparison between zoreya and ofa. K'mo shkosef harashash de'ba'ofa hi ikar u'afia v'zeu me'atzmu samalacha. By ofa, the ikar is that it gets baked. That's the nature of the melecha. That if you're going to be a shogeg, you have to be a shogeg all the way from beginning to end, even at the gemara afia. And that's why if you put something in the oven a second before Shabbos ends, and it only gets baked, and you know it only finishes baking an hour later, way after Shabbos is over, potter. Now, by Zoreya, if you plant something on Shabbos, when's it really taking root? I don't know, it takes 3 days, 5 days, 10 days. How can I be chayiv? The malach only finished on Tuesday. So how can I be chayiv? Elamai, by the malach of Zoreya, it's all about the maisa in the moment. It's not about the result. It's a maisa that can generate that kind of result. That's the kind of maisa that you're chayiv. But it has to be, but it's all finished in that moment. So Zoreya, you can't undo, because it was all about that moment. Ofa, you can undo because it's about the result. Borer, in that moment, you separated the thing. Whether it's miyad or not miyad is not, whatever decision you make later, l'chor, it's too late. Because in that moment, I did it in a way that was not derech achila. So again, im lo yazik, I guess nothing to lose by taking a drink of wine at that time. It happens to be that Rabbi Reisman said that, I think he had mentioned in the shir, that he put it in the fridge because he wanted it to get cold. He likes it ice cold. He said his children who know how to drink wine say to him, that's not how you're supposed to drink wine. And he's like, yeah. That's the way I like it, so it's the way I'm supposed to drink it, right? So he put it in the fridge. So I told Rabbi Willie, he said, putting it in the fridge is miyad, because it takes time to cool off in the fridge. That's called miyad. Okay, there are a couple of other examples that he gave, but we'll leave it here. So l'chora doing it, and by the way, I asked Rav Schechter, I asked Rav Willig, and I saw an Orcho Shabbos also, 3 for 3, they all say that that deciding to change your mind afterwards and drink it right away or eat it right away does not change the halacha, your chayiv anyway. It doesn't help whatsoever. Okay, we'll stop there. Everyone have a wonderful evening and a great Shabbos. Let's see who's been buzzing me off the hook the whole time. Okay.
Shkoyach, thank you.
When it comes to fungicides, there's only one way to spell yield. N-E-O. Miravis Neo is the 2024 number one retailer recommended corn fungicide for a reason. It dominates spots, rots, blights, and stress to out-yield competitive brands like Veltima. And there's 6 years of university data to prove it. Ask your Syngenta retailer about using Miravis Neo for more yield more often. Based on 2024 Stratus Retailer Efficacy Study. Always read and follow label instructions.